Hello, everybody. Let me turn on an additional light. Just so that y'all know, my computer shut down. My computer went to the crap yesterday. So we have been trying desperately to get this thing back up and running. We're kind of there, but some stuff is running weird on my computer. So my light won't come on. So let me go turn another light on. Let me pull up everybody who needs to be here. And we will get started. We're going to talk about vacation protocols. And I spent a lot of time this morning getting really clear on my vacation protocol. I want to tell you all about it. And then I decided this morning too, that while I'm out of town I'm out of town for a long time. And then I roll right into camp. I'm going to just do behind the scenes in the Facebook group. I'm going to just share with y'all what's going on, what I eat, what I'm thinking. I'm just going to do some like quick videos, that kind of stuff. There won't be any Facebook lives, anything. If I do a video, we will load it into the quick hits. The pictures, of course, you'd have to be in the Facebook group if you want to see stuff like that. But, I am going to chronicle some stuff. So let me turn my light on. I also have the craziest outfit on. I was going to wear something different. And in full transparency, I am getting a procedure done on my neck called the Morpheus 8. I'm also doing it on my arms because I've noticed I've got so much crepiness around my elbows and stuff. So I'm doing this thing called the Morpheus. And it's basically repeated stabs with a needle into your skin, like in a checkerboard pattern. And then if the stabbing isn't enough, there's a little energy heat ray that gets shot down in there. So they have to numb me I have to lay there for like an hour with numbing cream all over me just to be able to do it. But I'm also tough as a bird. Like that lady always tells me, she's like, I got you on the highest setting. And she's like, this last time I did it, which was this past Monday, I was listening to a podcast. I was Facebooking, like I was talking to y'all. I was just like, lost in my world as she was doing this. And she finally tapped me like this. And I said, yeah, like that. And she said, can we move your arm? I need to go to the other side. She's like, you're the only person I know that kind of gets like lost in yourself. Somebody asked me, so this is not like Cool Sculpting. It's different. This is where they're damaging the collagen. Morpheus it's itchy as shit. Let me just say this. Morpheus is where, I used to do the Scarlet laser on my face. In fact, I don't have any makeup on today other than eyeliner and mascara because I was like fucking running out of time. I do have a Luscious spray tan. One of the people that works at our restaurant who, she does a lot of like little things for us around the house too, just for extra money. My tan girl that normally comes and sprays me, I like my spray tan. I get one every 2 weeks. She had a baby and I told my husband, I said, she thinks she's going to want to keep doing these spray tans. That baby comes. I have a feeling that like, I just knew this, like my sweet ass 3-year spray tan relationship was coming to an end. So she moved to Birmingham to be closer to her parents and her husband got a job and all stuff. And I was like, I knew it. Well, anyway, she came yesterday and she trained my girl, Renee, on how to do a spray tan. So I just bought all the equipment. Renee is now trained. If Corinne wants a spray tan, every damn Monday, Corinne can have one. So I'm so excited. Anyway, yesterday was training day and I got a fresh newbie tan yesterday, but that's why my face looks so good. I'm telling you all this because the way that that thing works is it damages the collagen in your skin. So like once you get past a certain age, which I believe is somewhere in your 30s, I'm not 100% sure exactly the age, but at some point, you go from producing collagen to not producing collagen. Your body just doesn't need to. So what this does is it damages the skin so that the skin has to, like, she calls it swarm. So collagen, now your body's like, oh my gosh, we've got like injury. We need to go fix that. And then it will produce collagen. It doesn't produce collagen to keep you young looking anymore, but it will produce collagen basically to repair something. So anyway, long story short, I know y'all are not here for this, but if you do, the theory is that doing this, as the collagen's produced, you get tighter results, like everything repairs differently. I don't know if there's any fat that actually gets, I just don't believe. Here's what I believe, that if there was a laser that was really destroying fat and all that kind of stuff, Oprah would have bought stock in that, not in Weight Watchers. I just have this big belief that if something truly is going to work in weight loss, Oprah will lead the way. And I will just say, like, Weight Watchers has worked fabulously for a lot of people. I do think she's trying to do a lot with it. I think, but they are trying to be so mass market that they can't, they just can't compete with what we do, where, like, we're very personal. We reach out personally to you guys when you're, like, you know, wayward lambs, all that kind of stuff. And they don't really do this level of their specialty is the person who is just not interested in changing their relationship with food long-term. And, like, y'all are here because it's like, I want to change the relationship with food. I want to change the relationship with my body. Like, I want confidence in food. Like your agenda for your weight loss is, I want to lose weight. And, like, I know the weight is not going to give me the life I want. I am going to work on my weight loss because all the things that are preventing me from having the weight or preventing me from having the life I want are these things that I need to work through so I can quit eating over them. So every time I level up my life and I change things along the way, losing weight becomes a no-brainer. That's why so many, like, when y'all ask me, how is it that some people will say it was hard in the beginning, but then it just seemed to get easy? It's for this very reason. In the beginning, it's hard, not because you're doing the four basics. It's hard because when you stop using food to fill the emotional holes in your life, when you start, I've been starting to teach this concept as of yesterday. Most of us are emotionally starving for things. We're emotionally hungry for things. Like, it could be other people's attention. It could be our own attention. It could be growth in our life, to feel connected to our family and stuff. We're, like, emotionally starving for relaxation, to cut ourselves some slack. Like, we're hungry for those things. And the problem that we run into is, we're emotionally hungry and we're trying to solve it with physical substances like Oreos, ding dongs, an extra serving of chicken, eating all of a healthy salad when you know you don't need all of it, that kind of thing. So that's what makes us very different. I think that's why I still use Oprah as the guiding light of, if there's ever going to be magic in weight loss, Oprah won't let us down. She'll let us know about it and she'll monetize it somehow because she's a great businesswoman. So, all right. So I will keep y'all posted on what's going on. I will say, this is my second treatment. You get three. They have to be, like, a month apart. It's not that bad. It's not cheap. I look like a fool on my arms right now. The spray tan's covering it, but for about a week or two, it will, like, I will have a checkerboard red and white pattern all over my arms where they stab. It doesn't do it as bad on the neck. I don't know why the arms are worse than the neck, but the arms really show everything. But I did notice an improvement. I have noticed my neck looks a little better after the first month. And that's been my main concern is the neck. My family in the genetics department, we do not have necks that age beautifully. If you look at every woman in my family, it's like, ugh, neck was always our issue. Even my granny, who never had a weight problem, her neck. So I'm doing all I can to work on the neck area. All right. So today, number one is Who, by show of emoji or light up the chat, is very ready for Drop It Like It's Hot month. Corinne is very ready for it. I'm dropping it like it's hot along with y'all. I want to gift myself some things this month, and it's not just stuff. I'm really working on my energy levels right now. I am reducing a lot of my drinking to see, like, all right, I'm, like, slowly eliminating things because I just want to, I want more physical energy. I am physically tired a lot and I have done all kinds of thought work. And my coach and I agree, this is no longer like Corinne is not tiring herself out mentally every day. That's not happening. I am just not doing that. And I feel so confident that that's not the problem. Now I'm like really going into, all right, it's got to be physical. Like I know I'm getting into my menopause years. I'm probably in peri, almost menopause. I'm going to be 49 in a few days. I just know I'm tired. Like no matter, I get like 8+ hours of sleep every night. I often wake up not feeling like it's enough. Even my Aura ring that tracks my data, it very often, like today, I woke up, I was like, oh God. And I went to bed early. I got 9 hours of sleep and I woke up and I was sitting there thinking, whew, good Lord. Like I just feel physically wore out. And I didn't have any good reasons. I have not had a drop of alcohol since a week ago this coming Saturday. I don't remember. Oh yeah. We went to, Friday, be a week ago Friday. We went to our restaurant and I had 2 glasses of wine. And, so anyway, I'm really going to pay attention to that this month. My big goal this month is like, let's cut out some of the alcohol. Let's see if that's going to make a difference. A little bit more walking, less intense cardio. Like I like to run, but I'm not going to run for more than 20 minutes if I feel like running. Walking and not power walking, like literally just, I'd like to go to for about 45 minutes a day of just getting the vitamin D, doing that kind of walking. And then I'm lifting 4 times a week and that's going to be it in terms of workouts. And anyway, I'll go through my protocol because I'm going to be traveling a lot in the next few days, but drop it like it hot for me is, I would like to lose about 3 pounds in the month of July. So I'm put that on my plan. I'll just share with you everything I'm going to do. And then, my plan is while I'm out of town for sure to be giving you behind the scenes, because I know that a lot of you have this idea that summer's hard to lose weight in. Oh my God, I'm traveling. Look, I'm getting ready to leave on Friday. I'm going to Las Vegas. I'm going to San Francisco from there. I'm going to be on the road for 8 or 9 days. I don't even know how long. And then I come back and I've got 3 days to get my shit and gear to teach camp. And that starts on Wednesday. So I go to the hotel on Wednesday and I am hotel living until I come back home the following Sunday. And then the last week of July, I am in Florida with my entire family. It is Mammy and JoJo and Lexi and JJ. And then all of our friends, all of our adult friends who, you know, we're not all sitting around, you know, eating fruit and talking about our health. The closest to fruit that probably happens that week is like cherry vodka. So just so all of you, or apple crown. Those are the two fruits that we do a lot of when we're all together. So I am determined that this month, though, my energy levels are more important than what I'm consuming. And that I am putting my brain to work on, which is I would invite all of you to put your brain to work on I am going to debunk every fucking story I have that somehow having a good time, like having a good time has nothing to do with what I'm eating. Like I'm literally like this, let's just get it started for summer protocols and vacation protocols. The first rule I'm breaking for myself is what I eat and drink determines the fun, determines the connection. What I eat and drink does not determine that. I am teaching myself this month deliberately. If I'm sitting there, the only way to have fun is for me to have fun thoughts. Sometimes I mistake having drinks and dulling whatever it is I am thinking that's not so fun. I mistake that as now having fun. That's not the case. Now, I'm not saying quit drinking, y'all. I don't care if you drink or not. Here's what I don't want you to do. I do not want you tying to drinking or tying to your eating that some substance is what causes your feelings. Your feelings are always caused by what? Somebody tell me in the chat so I know that you're fucking paying attention. What causes all of our feelings? Yes, some thoughts. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking about what you should and shouldn't eat, and you're negotiating, if you like, oh, I'm on vacation, I deserve a good time, I know we're going to do this. If you're doing all that, guess what you're not doing? You're not having fun and you're not connecting. You're negotiating. You're bouncing shit around in your head, and you're probably driving up anxiety, and you're probably driving up stress. Because if you walked in, you're like, this is what I decided. I decided ahead of time, this is what I'm going to have. And if I'm not having fun, it's not because I'm not getting some food. It's because I'm sitting there thinking, what? What am I focused on that's sucking the fun out of this moment? That is a better question for you to be asking, other than blaming the lack of vodka, wine, White Claw, appetizers, dessert, burgers, chips, whatever your fancy is. Stop blaming that stuff and stop thinking those things make me feel. The only way for you to feel anything is a thought. So sometimes what we do is we're sitting there and we mistakenly assume that because I was miserable while I was sitting there, because I felt anxious and I was negotiating what I should have, the moment I started eating, oh, I started having fun. No, you ended the negotiation. And when you ended the negotiation, your brain had to start thinking about the next thing. And your brain, the next thing was thinking like, I'm getting what I want. Or your brain is like, now, because it's not negotiating and you're not feeling stressed, you might be thinking you're having fun when actually you're just like, nom, 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 this tastes good. So we're not connecting, we're not experiencing, we're not actually having whatever it is that we anticipate. So I just want all of you to see, it doesn't matter what you plan. If you want to plan to have some drinks and you want to plan to have some food, that's A-okay. But what I want to tell all of you is, don't plan those things thinking that's what will make this fun. Just tell the truth. I'm going to want it. And I would rather just plan it. It's no more fun to have it. It just means I'm having it. Fun will always be created by my mind. I would much rather see all of you, at least if you start laying the groundwork for how it actually works with food. Today might not be the day. This vacation might not be the vacation. This weekend, this holiday, whatever it is, may not be the one where you actually change your behaviors, but behaviors cannot change until the mind changes first. Behaviors, when we think about the think, feel, do cycle, they're only on the do line. And they don't change, improve, level up, do anything until the mind gets on board with it. Okay. So we want to make sure that we are breaking some of our rules. So one of my rules is I'm just not telling myself anymore. This is how we connect. I'm telling myself when I go out, I know me. Like, this is really resonating with me right now. I have plenty of instances in my life where people like real Corinne, like on this call, like I'm getting hearts and emojis, and I have not been drinking wine. I've not been drinking anything. I like go to camp. I can stand on a stage. I can talk to all of you. I can have intimate conversations and people love me. And guess what? I wasn't like sipping Jack on the side. I have a lot of evidence in my life that when I'm just me without food in my mouth or liquor in my body, either one, that people like me. People want to talk to me. So I don't need, like, for me, one of the things that I have been bad about telling myself is like eating and drinking relaxes me so I can be more fun. It's like, girl, you a fun train. Like that's just not even needed. It's not like I don't know how to be myself. And that's the conversations I'm having with myself. Another rule that I'm like dismantling that lives inside of Corinne is that it's the whole wasting food thing. Y'all, I still have a hard time with wasting anything. It's always like there's two versions of my thinking. I need to get my money's worth, or I hate to waste. This is going to go to waste. And I do this a lot. I do this with clothes. Like, y'all, I will wear something that I do not like, that don't even look that great. But I'm like, well, like you've only worn it 17 times. I literally just did a huge purge of my closet because I was like, I'm good to buy some clothes, but I will hang on to them way too long. And I had a bunch of clothes that I kept thinking, I still need to get my money's worth out of them. I just haven't worn them enough. And I started going through my clothes and I was like, I made an agreement with myself. I'm going to sort these things into piles. And it's like, this is the pile of, for sure, I wear this a lot. I actually like it. I do not want to get rid of it. Then the pile of, I'd like to get rid of it if it wasn't for my shitty thinking around it. So that became a pile. And then I had a miserable maybe pile. And this was like the pile of things that I do wear. I don't necessarily love them, but I'm actually wearing them some. So anything that got tossed into the only reason why you're keeping this is because you keep thinking you should get your money's worth out of it. What if one day you're going to, like the biggest one for me was, what if one day you're going to want it? And I finally just told myself, I'm breaking that rule from now on. If I ever want that, I am pretty sure I can find a suitable replacement. But what I don't want for myself is to walk into my closet every day and have 1,000 decisions to make, feel like I have nothing to wear, even though I have plenty of clothes. What I don't have, it's not that I don't have anything to wear. I don't have easy access to things I love. And that was the truth. I was like, this is the new rule. We are going to have easy access to things we truly love. Now, you can do this with food too. I do this in our kitchen. I make sure that our pantry literally only has foods in it that we all love and that we love for a variety of reasons. Some stuff is just stuff like Logan's got his tortilla chips in there. He loves tortilla chips. I have my favorite protein bars in there. My favorite fucking cereal in the world is in there. I've always got a box of my, y'all know I love my Wheat Bran. Jane makes fun of me religiously for eating my Wheat Bran. She is like, you are hilarious. Of all the cereals in the world, you want Wheat Bran. But for me, it's delicious. My great grandfather introduced it to me way back when I was a little kid. And I have been a Wheat Bran fan since the get. So we keep like easy access to foods we really love. And the criteria for loving it is not just taste. I got to love the way it makes me feel. I got to love the energy. I do want to love the taste. I also want to love like myself the next day after eating it. This is one of the reasons why, for me, what has always worked when it comes to foods, I don't keep a lot of foods in my house that when I'm having a depression day, when, like Monday, I was super in the dumps. I cried most of Monday, like so much on Monday. And I am very grateful to the past version of me who made the decision, do not keep foods in the pantry that would make it easy for you to fake soothe yourself. If you want to be soothed, go lay down, go cry, talk to someone, journal. You have so many ways to soothe. You don't need the food anymore. So I don't keep foods that on days when I'm not going to be thinking my best, I don't keep them around because I love myself enough to do that. I don't do it because I can't control myself. I make a conscious decision around food all the time, around like, is this in your best interest? And that's such a different question than like, will you eat your face off with it? Like, you know, you can't have it. You can't control yourself. I gave up talking to myself like that a long time ago, because I knew that if I was going to lose weight, and this is when I was losing weight, y'all, I gave up talking to myself like that. That doesn't mean I didn't have, I want you to think about like, if you had to quit smoking, like, nobody just lays a cigarette down and never thinks about it again. My mother hasn't smoked in 20 plus years at least. And sometimes she wants a cigarette. She's like, I don't know where this came from. I don't even fucking like the smell of it anymore. If she sells it secondhand, she's like, this fucking stinks. But there are certain times, certain situations will happen. So, like, she'll be drinking coffee. Like, some mix of stuff will come up and she will just want one so bad. And I like to think about, like, when it comes to how we talk to ourselves, it's like, yeah, when I was losing weight, every day my brain tried to act like an asshole. Every day, twice on Sunday. But I got really good at redirecting my brain as often as it would take. I got really good at telling myself, here's what we're going to do. Even though you're thinking this, it's okay. That's the way old Corinne thinks. But we're over here building new Corinne. Like, I did that a lot. That was one of the most empowering things for me, to like, to start with, like, oh yeah, I just heard some old Corinne thinking. That's old Corinne thinking. Like, I was very dramatic about it. And then I would say, but new Corinne, this is how we think now. And this is what we're going to do. And I was really good at pivoting that all the time. And I know that's why I ended up losing weight. It wasn't because of what I ate. It wasn't because of exercise. It wasn't anything like that. What I ate, again, think, feel, do. What I ate and exercise just was on the do line. I would have never been consistent. I would have never kept showing up. I would have never leveled up. I would have never kept going when the scale wasn't moving. I would have never kept going on days that I overate had it not been for thinking. That's old Corinne thinking. And this is the new Corinne that we're building. And I would invite all of you to do that. I would invite all of you to be thinking about, how much energy are you putting into, but you're doing the basics. I'm listening for hunger. That's great. That's just what you do. But are you listening to you? Are you doing your brain? The basics are not just listening for hunger and stuff. I don't give you four modules all about the hunger, all about enough. I give you one module on it, three of which are all about your mindset. Why do you think 25% of what I teach you is what to do to lose weight, and 75% of what I teach you is how to think to lose weight? Because the thinking always drives the doing. Every single time, including on vacation. All right, so drop it like it's hot. I'm going to commit 3 pounds. I actually started 10 days ago and I'm down 1.5. Yay me. Before anybody's like, what are you doing? Let me tell you what I did the last 10 days. Number one is for the first 3 or 4 days, the salad that I was eating, I noticed that I was just cleaning the bowl. Like, the first like 3 days, I was just like eating the whole thing. And I realized, like, after the fact, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm full, like full. And I was like, okay, the next couple days, probably like 3 to 4, I ate a little slower. I will tell you, one of the habits I've got to break is eating while working. I was still like checking things, watching self-development videos and doing stuff like that, but I ate a lot slower. And the second that I noticed that I was getting more focused on what was going on in front of me versus the food, I told myself, now we stop eating. And I would set my salad aside and I would get into whatever I was doing. And if 20, 30 minutes went by and I had not touched that salad because I had gotten into this, I knew that I was at enough. So I threw quite a bit of food away in that salad range. And I even posted about it the other day. Then after that, the next step that I was like, all right, what can I do a little different just to make things easier on me? It was time for Aunt JJ to make more salads. I said, girl, make me half of what you've been making me. I told her, like, just give me half of it. I just want to see for 4 days if half is enough. And if half's not enough, I have watermelon and blueberries. I got stuff I love in there. So if that's not enough, I will just eat something else to supplement. But I'm not going to know unless I try. So I did that. The only other thing is I switched my breakfast out. So I have been for a long time, just, you know, dump, eating my stuff. You know, like sometimes I eat cereal. Sometimes I do this. The last 10 days, I changed my breakfast a little bit. Number one, I went on Amazon and I bought extra measuring spoons because one of my excuses is we only have one like cup and half cup measure. So it's really hard to measure your cereal. I was like, bitch, if you can buy a glass of wine, you can buy some fucking measuring cups. And I was like, I'm like, Coach MJ, bitch got goals. And one of her goals is to order some measuring cups. So I ordered some extras so that if one's dirty, I don't have to have the excuse of like, oh, I can't measure, clutch my pearls, something's dirty. So I ordered those and I decided, all right, for the next little bit, I'm just going to measure this out. So like a serving of wheat bran is, I think it's a cup for whatever. It's like a cup. It's got to be, I think it's a cup. It's not 3 quarters. I think wheat bran's a cup or a cup and a quarter. I can't remember because I quit eating it a few days ago. But anyway, it's like a cup. Well, a cup ain't nothing. Like I looked at the bowl and I was like, this is not enough. So I'm like, it's 2 cups for Corinne, but I'm going to measure 2 cups, which funny enough that when I just dump it into the bowl, it's only about this much less than what I've been doing. But if you took this much cereal and you multiply that out by 30 days, look how much shit I have saved in 30 days. I was sitting there thinking like, these are the changes we want to be thinking about. Like if I want to lose 3 pounds in the month of July, I just need like 30 of these things every day. Like that's what needs to happen because I know my brain, it wants to make everything too hard. Like I'm an A type. It loves more than anything to make everything extra difficult. Like no, if I'm going to do a race, I'm not doing a 5K. I'm doing a half marathon one day and a full marathon the next. Like I have done that. Like I remember when I first started doing distance running, me and a girlfriend of mine, we did a Tough Mudder 10-mile obstacle race on Saturday. And we're like, let's do the half marathon that's in the same town the next day. This will be fun. It's like, I couldn't just settle for that. So I know my tendency is to want to overdo and go out hard. And I can do that. But I also know my tendency is to lose steam because I do go out so hard. So I was like, I am pacing. We are pacing, we are pacing, we are pacing. So changed my cereal, just that one little change. And then about 4 or 5 days in, because I am seriously lifting like a man right now. This morning, I was bench pressing 30-pound dumbbells for reps. Not for like 6, for reps, which means lots of reps. So I was like, I'm going to switch to protein shakes. I'm going to do a protein shake. And I'm going to do a delicious one. So I went online and I found, it's called Syntha 6. I used to drink it back in the day. They're fucking delicious. I like them because they're creamy. You can get them ice cream consistency. And I found the Cold Stone Creamery line of the cookie don't. I think it's called cookie don't or something like that. Something cookie. I haven't opened it one yet. And then there's the birthday cake remix. So I'm like, I'm going to have 1.5 scoops of protein shake blended with ice. And then I'm putting 1/2 cup of my favorite cereal on it. And I'm mixing that up. And I'm just going to tell you, that's the kind of shit Corinne gets off on. Like, I do like eating that kind of stuff. That's not for everybody. Don't just eat shit because I say so. So I just started making a few shifts. That's all I've done. In 10 days, I dropped 1 pound and like, I think it was this morning. I think it's 1.5 pounds total. This is how terrible I am. I love goals. I am really bad at the tracking. Now I am tracking in my habit tracker, but like, I just don't like, this is the thing I think that happens to me. Like, y'all get so obsessed about the actual number of pounds you lose. I get obsessed about tracking my behaviors. I get like really like, I want to dive into the details that create the number that's going to be on the scale. And I would invite all of you to do that for Drop It Like It's Hot. I would be thinking about like, am I putting too much emphasis on the result of my behaviors? Or should I get really excited about collecting as many check marks as I can on the behaviors? Because collecting those is what drives results. That's why, like, when I'm coaching y'all, very often this is what I hear. I'm doing all the things and the scale's not moving. And I'm like, well, what is like, tell, like, I just did this for the last 2 days. I've been coaching Queen's Club. I coached all day Sunday, the elders, plus the other, every single person that swore to God they were on a stall. I'd be like, oh, you're doing all the things. So like, tell me, like, for hunger, what's your percentage of waiting for hunger? 70%. That's not doing all the things. 30% of the time, you're not waiting for hunger. Waiting for hunger is one of the things. So instead of saying I'm doing everything and the scale's not going down, here's what I'd like for you to say. Oh, the scale didn't go down. Where in my data do I need to work next? If you want a really good example of this, yesterday in Queen's Club, my glasses back on, so I can't see shit without them. The June 27th call, the very first person I coached, I wish I could remember her. I think her name might've been Jessica. Very sweet girl. She came on, thought she wanted to do inner child work because she's been on a stall. She's like, I think we should do some of that inner child work. And I said, well, before we do that, let's just figure out why you're on a stall. And it was literally not waiting for hunger. I said, I just want you working on that. And we just dove into like for her, it was nighttime eating. She was waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And she said one thing that jumped out at me. Like a puma from the bush. I asked her, like, why are you eating at night? Like, why? And she said, I just need something to soothe me back to sleep. I said, well, why are you needing soothing? She's like, well, when I get up to go to the bathroom, my mind just starts racing on all the things that, like, I need to do tomorrow and blah, 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 what's not working, that I'm lonely, I'm never going to have kids, I'm 38, and, you know, what if I never get married? What if no one takes care of me in my old age? And I said, so what you're telling me is that 30% of the time we're eating because we're afraid we'll never get married and not be able to take care of ourselves when we're older. I said, tell me how eating at the middle of the night is solving that fear. And she couldn't. I said, that is exactly what needs to happen. So for all of you, like, I want you to really look at your data. Make number one, in July, we are going to talk about vacations. Don't worry. I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just hanging out with y'all today. And we just having a big old fancy talk about all the things. But here's what I want you to do for July. If you really want to lose some weight and donate me some pounds, agree you will track your data, number one. Like, you're actually going to track. The second agreement is I refuse to be an asshole about myself about it. Because many of you aren't tracking because if you don't see yourself doing it perfectly, you talk to yourself like a butthole. Your homework in July is literally, I'm going to track data. And every time my brain acts like a shrill banshee, by the end of the month, I am going to have a relationship with my data, no matter what it is, to where I can look at it. I can assess it. I know it's my next steps forward. I know that I can get support on it. That's the thoughts I want to be having by the end of the month. No matter what comes up, I can go to ask coaches. I don't just sit here and self-loathe. I ask for support now. If I get like for self-loathers, you know why you need to ask for support? Because you haven't learned how to support yourself yet when you see the data. Supporting yourself is the conversation you have about it. So your little happy ass is going to be an ask coaches saying like, I'm seeing my data and I'm making it mean this. Level one for me to lose weight is to learn how to not make data mean something terrible about me. I make data mean this is the next thing I'm willing to try. This is how I'm going to move forward. I'm really glad to see the things that aren't working because then I can solve for the true issues. We have to shift our relationship with that data because no one loses weight in OBS without some data. You just don't. And the better you are at talking to yourself about your habit tracker and your habits, guess what? That skill, the ability to see numbers and not make it mean something about you, will translate to being able to see the scale weight. It will translate to being able to see like your checking balance, your kids' grades. There's all kinds of external data inputs that we get in our life. And something as small as being able to develop a healthy relationship with tracking your behaviors on your habit tracker can change everything for you. So you're going to track your data. You're going to develop a good relationship with it. And then all you're going to do for the next month is do like Corinne every single day. Like when I started noticing like, damn it, I'm just like, I cannot get a day where I can check off, bitch, stopped it enough every meal. That salad was keeping me from my check mark. And I was like, I want my check mark. So what am I going to do to get it? That was my attitude. It wasn't like, you lead a weight loss company and you can't even get your check mark. You're such a fraud. What if everybody finds out? La, la, la. That's what y'all do. What if somebody read it? What does this mean? Oh, I'm hopeless. I'm never like, could you imagine if I came in here and said, I couldn't get my check mark? So here's what I decided to do. I'm not going to use the habit tracker anymore because I don't want to feel like I'm going backward. Now, literally listen to me when I say that. How many of you, if I said that, all of you, you give me an emoji or you give me a comment. If I came on this call and I said, y'all, I feel you. I know how hard that habit tracker is. I've been doing mine for like 10 days and I haven't stopped it enough once. It must mean I'm going backward in my weight loss. I'm really scared. Like all the other times I'm going to regain all my weight. So I think here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit using it because I just don't need that stress in my life. So hopefully I'll be able to fix this with no information. And now I just want all of you to do the same. I think if we all quit doing things that we feel bad about, that's the answer. It's got to be. Y'all would just be like, is Creepy talking about an alien? Is she like literally disassociating from reality or something? Like no one would be like, amen. Thank God. I'm so glad Corinne's being hard on herself and quitting things. I'm so glad she's not like learning how to talk to herself. She really should stop just doing anything that could be good for her if she can't think good about it. And yet, you bitches want to get on coaching calls and try to defend, like, I should just quit doing this. Like, no, you should quit having asshole conversations with yourself. You should quit just listening to that as the only radio station you can tune into. If you don't like what your brain automatically is offering up, there's only one way to get it to quit offering those thoughts. For about 1,000 days or 1,000 times that thought comes up, you have to pivot it. At the end of 1,000, that is the new number. Everybody always like, how long am I going to have to do this? So exhausting. It's so, I love it when y'all say it's so exhausting to pivot my thinking when shit comes up. And I'm like, really? That's more exhausting than sitting around thinking that stuff all the time, sabotaging yourself, and then regretting everything that you're doing and wishing you could get your shit together. Pivoting's harder than that. Everybody needs to take a collective ass deep breath and check some reality. All right, let's actually do the vacation stuff real quick. So I do want to share my vacation protocol. This bitch didn't get up at 5 a.m. to write all this down for y'all for nothings. So let me find my shit. So here are three keys before I share mine that I want you to keep in mind. First is that a vacation protocol still needs to be doable. So whatever's going on your vacation, you need to make it a doable plan, which only means that you need to look at it and say, like, on a scale of 1 to 4, 4 being 100% I can do it, 1 being, it's going to be hard as fuck, I am at a 3 or 4. If you are not at least at a 3, then go back and make it more doable. The reason why I like y'all to do it that way is because sometimes we need to check, like if it's a 2 or a 1, you probably have shoulds in there. Like, I should be eating this. I have to eat this. If I don't eat like this, I'll gain weight. What we don't want to do is create the protocol from the mindset of should and have to. You're going on vacation to relax. You cannot take a bunch of rules based in should and have to along for the ride, because that's not relaxing. If you make a protocol that is all about, here's who I want to be, here's what will work, here's what I would feel like if I just didn't want to do it in the moment, I could just as easily talk myself into why I'm going to do it anyway. It might not be that bad. So we want something that we can follow, because one of the keys about going on vacation is I want you to be able to eat some stuff. I want you to have a good time, but not so much so that you start associating that when you're at home, you're dieting. And when you're on vacation, this is the only way to relax, and you tie it to the food and alcohol. That is why we don't want to make that association. The next key is we want to teach your brain that having a vacation protocol is way easier than not having one. So for a lot of you, y'all hear protocol and think this is going to make things so much harder. No, here's what I want you to be thinking. When I decide all of this ahead of time, I have decided how to have fun, how to include the things I love to eat and drink. I've also decided the experience that I want on this trip that has nothing to do with the food, has nothing to do with the drinks. So that when I'm sitting at the table, when we are eating, I am free of negotiation. No one likes to negotiate. How many of you, like, your dream is like, if I could just go and negotiate buying a new house, like you never get the house. You're like, no, I just want to be the kind of person who's always trying to get somebody to agree to a deal. I want to go to the car dealership and negotiate. Most of us do not find negotiating thrilling. We find it work, nerve-wracking. You're always afraid you're going to get cheated. You're trying to get what you can get. Like, I want you to think about just negotiating. And yet, y'all don't want to do protocols so that when you're sitting, like, I'm just going to make good choices. Like, I'm just going to wait for hunger. That's great Except when you're not really clear on what you're going to do, then your brain is like, time to negotiate. Time to negotiate. Time to throw up all the excuses. Like, that's just your brain's cue to usher it all in. A protocol helps limit that. It helps when the negotiation starts to make it painfully aware, like, we don't negotiate. We've already decided what we're doing here. We've already decided. And we also decided that if we don't negotiate, then we can actually pay attention to the people we're with. We can actually have the experience we thought we wanted to have, which is fun, relaxation, and connection. So if I want fun, relaxation, and connection, what do I need to be thinking in this moment? Because it sure isn't trying to decide if I should eat an appetizer or not. That's not connecting me to anyone, and it's not even fun. I'm disconnecting. I'm unfunning myself. And then the last thing is, and I think this is really helpful. If you're not, here's a good question. If you're not taking any vacations, do you just make a general vacation plan for when you might take one? I would make that, Kelly, here's what I would do. If you're not taking any vacations, then I would make a, like if you're going out to eat protocol, I would make a weekend protocol. I would make a protocol around, like basically you're making a protocol around any time that you're not in your normal routine where having decisions made about what you're going to do would be a lot easier than going in and trying to negotiate, trying to make yourself make good decisions and doing all of that. We're going to decide ahead of time with our best self what we truly want for ourselves. And then the last thing is make sure to have a clear visual of you when you come back. So if you just think about the person who comes back from vacation, the holiday, going out to eat, anything like that. What about her? What do you want to set her up for? What does she want to be thinking? What does she want to be feeling? What can you do on vacation to make sure that version of you also has a good time, who's also connected? Because the last thing you want for her is to come home riddled with shame, regret, and she forgets how much fun she had. Because she's so blazed up in her mind. I just coached one of my coaches on this. She overate some on her vacation simply because she was so afraid of going home and not being able to have a good time when she gets home. Like, vacation's where we have a good time. It's where we connect. And we coached on that. And I said, why not come home? Be thinking about how can I bring some of the spirit into our home life. When she was overeating, it was overeating from this fear that the good times were over. She wasn't thinking about the version of her who was going to come home and now forget all the good times that she had. Now the vacation is stained with eating because she was afraid she couldn't stay connected when she got home. So what I want all of you to do is I want you to be thinking about like Monday morning me. What is she going to need? The person who comes back from vacation. I want her to have the best memories. I want her to be so proud. Think about like, I want her to be set up. I want her to have a re-entry plan. I want to take care of her because there's three parts of you. There's you. Who's going to plan, or two parts. If there's you who's going to plan, or three, there's the version of you today who's planning for it. And you have the most perspective. You're the one who is watching out for everybody's back. Then there's you who implements whatever it was. Her job is to trust your wisdom, knowing that you were thinking about her and you were thinking about future you. Future you is the one that is at the end of all of this. And here's her voice. Here's what she most wants. And all of you get it. Like you today needs to consult with you on vacation and you coming back. And where's the middle? All right. So here's Corinne's little Vegas protocols. I'll read it off real quick just in case anybody's interested. And like I said, I'll keep y'all up to date. All right. Liz says, I'm brand new here and I'm struggling with the mindset around everything needs to be perfect before I can start. Liz, if you will go to module one, I'm going to let you bypass all the lessons. I just want you to go to module one and I want you to watch the lesson on the phases of change. Watch that first, then start with lesson number one, because I address like that mindset right there. You're not supposed to be perfect. That's a false thought that we have. You're supposed to start doing things, and then where you have notoriously had issues with weight loss should get spotlighted. So now we can solve the root cause problem of why you haven't been able to lose weight. We want to see those things. All right. Can you give an idea of food options at camp in person? Here's what I would do. Lunch is provided. I always have good options for proteins and stuff. If you will just go to the website for the hotel, Sonesta, this is a really good practice for you, Pam. When I am going out of town, I visit the website of the hotel I'm going to be at. I look to see what restaurants do they have. Let me look at the menus. We are not living in the 90s anymore where you can't get a menu online. You know what we do? Everybody has a menu online now. Y'all don't even know how fucking easy you have it anymore when it comes to losing weight. Y'all have it so stuck in your head, it's so hard. It's like in the 90s when I traveled all the time, I legit didn't know what we were going to eat because nothing was online. You had to just find something, and I couldn't even do Uber Eats. I had to go get something. I couldn't just look to see if there was a healthy option near me. And back then, we didn't even have healthy options most of the time. Y'all, every place has good options now. McDonald's does. So many places. Start thinking. I live in the age of endless options to eat in a way that supports my weight loss. All right. Wait, this is the wrong, hang on. That's my next class I got to teach today. All right. Friday. So I fly out but fucking early Friday morning. I think I have to leave the house at 7 somewhere, I think, or maybe 6:30. So I'm going to get up at 5 like I normally do. We're going to probably be about 5 more minutes and then we're done, y'all. Let me make sure I don't have a call right after this before I read all this off. Otherwise, we'll just go long for a minute. No, I'm good. All right. Friday, I'm going to do a 30-minute run because I'm not going to have time to do a long walk. So I'm just going to do an easy Peloton run. Then I'm going to have a protein bar. Then I'm going to, on the plane, we have a friend of ours who's going with us, and she likes to go to Whole Foods and buy some shit like so that we can keep it. I ask for a refrigerator when I travel. When I'm in hotels, if they don't give me a fridge, I ask them for one. Lo and behold, most hotels have little fridges for medicinal needs. If you ask for one, they almost always will give you one at all kinds of hotels. So we're going to have one. So I'm going to give her a Whole Foods order. I'm going to make the list on the airplane and tell her, like, go to the hot bar and get me like this and this. And I'm just going to keep it in the fridge. And I'm not above eating something cold. I don't have a microwave at this hotel. That's all right. I will get some shit that I can eat cold that I'll be just fine. On Friday, we're going to go to the pool all day, which is our drinking pool. Like, trust me, the only reason you would ever go to that pool is probably to just drink. It's a DJ'd club pool. And then whatever salad the pool has, I don't know exactly when we're getting in. If we're getting there early, there's a restaurant we go to all the time called Veranda. I'm going to eat there. I'm going to have the frittata with fruit. It's delicious. It's filling. It'll be great. On Friday, I'm going to just drink club soda all day because I've already traveled. I'm not going to drink at that pool. And my bestie's not even going to be there yet. So I don't need to drink if my best friend's not there. That night, we're going to Strip Steak, which is a steakhouse. I'm going to get the steak of my choice. I'm either going to get a baked potato or I'm going to get my favorite vegetable, because if they have Brussels sprouts and bacon, that's what I'm getting, because that is my favorite all time. I love restaurant Brussels sprouts and bacon. One glass of wine there, and then we're going to a nightclub after that. I allow myself 2 wines or 2 club sodas, and that's it. All right. Saturday, long walk with Jane. We're going to walk the strip. I'm going to still have the frittata and fruit. at the pool that day, I'm going vodka and Coke soda from when we get there until we leave. So just however many I want to drink, I'm just giving myself a time versus giving myself a number. We're going to play poker maybe on Saturday night. If we play poker, no drinks. If we just go to bed, that's fine. Sometimes Chris and I just go to bed after a long pool day. We like to go to bed early in Vegas. And then dinner is going to be a Whole Foods dish. Sunday, leg day in the gym because Jane wants to lift weights one day. Same breakfast. I'm just putting my frittata and fruit on repeat. Pool on Sunday. I'm not doing drinks on Sunday because I did them on Saturday and I just don't do well drinking 2 days in a row anymore. So, and we're going to go shopping that night. We all want to go to Caesars. So we're going to be going down to like down the strip. We're going to have to take a cab and I get wicked car sick. So I'm definitely not drinking. And then I will probably have a snack in the room. I will get that from Whole Foods. And then I will have Whole Foods when we get back, unless we decide to go out to eat while we're at Caesars. If we do, then I'm going to have a steak and any kind of vegetable that that I want. And if we do go out to eat, I'm going to get myself two glasses of wine if I want them. Monday is a long walk again because Jane's leaving that day. Same breakfast. No drinks at the pool that day because I'm flying early or I'm flying the next day and I don't want to be like, ooh, not feeling so great. Go to bed early on Monday. Probably won't play poker. If we do, if we do play poker, play for a few hours, but I'm not going to drink. Tuesday, I travel to San Francisco. I will have the same breakfast as usual because I will be there in the morning. I'll take some of the Whole Foods on the plane. When I'm there, I'm going to have room service. They have a couple of options of salads. They have a couple of options where you get a meat and a vegetable, have that. If for some reason I don't want any of that, my backup when I'm there is like, if I have it once and I don't love it or whatever, is to order Subway because I fucking love Subway like nobody's business. So I always get a foot long veggie, extra cheese, and then bag of chips. So that's my thing. On Tuesday, I'm going to work out my shoulders. Wednesday is room service or Uber Eats. Workout is chest and tries. I'm going to bring protein shakes with me so I can just shake it up. So after I work out, I can at least drink a protein shake. No drinks on Wednesday, but I'm working on Wednesday. So I have a lot of calls on Wednesday. So it'll just be protein shake after workout, go into my calls, order room service. Thursday, I will be eating out because I'm with I'm doing a 2-day mastermind with some of my peers. We eat out every meal. Breakfast will just be the protein shake, lunch and dinner, eating out. It's being catered. I don't know what is going on there. So I listed, I'll be doing any kind of protein, any kind of salads, any kind of vegetables, cheese, like whatever, things like that, that I like. If they've got like rice, I'll have rice, sweet potatoes. Like I've just got to like, I have a general list of like all the types of things I like that are good and wholesome. And more importantly, like making sure I do get some kind of sweet potatoes. I get some kind of rice and stuff like that. Corinne gets very constipated on the road if I'm not careful. So lots of water too, that kind of thing. Oh, also when I get to the hotel in San Francisco, I'm ordering a shipped. I'm getting a lot of water brought to me. And that hotel does not have a hotel. They do not have a refrigerator and will not give me a refrigerator. So I can't really keep things around. So just lots of water will be good. Friday is cardio or legs, depending on the gym equipment. I'm only going to do legs if I get a leg press. Otherwise, I'm waiting until I get home. No drinks, just the same food protocol. Saturday, off workouts. I'll be traveling home. I'm flying Delta. I can just eat on the plane and whatever they serve, that's just what I'm going to have. And then I'll have a JJ meal when I get home and I'll probably go to bed wicked early. So I'll only eat twice on Saturday because I fly out early, but time zone changes. And I always like to be in bed by 8 o'clock my time when I get back to get back into the habit of going to bed at the time I love. And that's it. That is the protocol. And that is what I'm going to be doing. And so what I will do is I will do some behind the scenes for y'all while I'm in Vegas. Show y'all a little bit of what I'm doing, what I'm having. If I run into any trouble, I'll tell you what it was and how I'm pivoting and all that kind of stuff. So I will share that with y'all. So it doesn't look like y'all have any more questions, but this is silly questions. What do you mean by Whole Foods? Is it fruit and veg? Whole Foods is a grocery store. So I just, like, my friend, she's just going to run to the grocery store and get us stuff to keep. So, like, they have, like, a salad bar, a hot bar. They've got a lot of organic foods. They have, like, all kinds of stuff. But it's just, it's the closest grocery store to the hotel. Just happens to be Whole Foods is the closest one to where we're staying. So she goes and she gets us stuff because she's got a really sensitive stomach. So anytime she goes with us to Vegas, she always runs to Whole Foods and gets her own food. She doesn't eat out a lot while we're there because otherwise she's going to have diarrhea real bad. So she'll go and get us stuff. So I can just put in my order, whatever I want to have. So I'll just, like, take a look at hot bar options and that kind of stuff. And just say, like, just, you know, get me chicken, get me salmon, whatever. And, like, throw some sweet potatoes with it, throw, you know, like, find me some vegetables. Here's all the vegetables I love. She'll just make me little boxes of that. And I'll just tell her how many of those I want. And then that's just what I eat in the room while Chris eats a pepperoni pizza next to me. Mr. Crabtree does not do protocol. His protocol is very similar, where he orders the American breakfast. Then for dinner, he eats a whole pepperoni pizza by himself. That's Chris's protocol. Sometimes he throws a whammy at me and he'll eat a burger. So, all right, y'all, that's it. Drop it like it's hot. Let's make the most. We're going into the, for all of us in the States, we're going into the 4th of July weekend. Y'all can do this. I promise. All right. Bye, y'all.